You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and in chapter 11. In our exercise in the book of Hebrews, filling in, helping us understand God's saving grace on Calvary's cross to bring to us, to bring home to the heart, the wonderful saving work that God has made possible. A relationship to God by way of the cross that is unfolded in and by the book of Hebrews about God's wonderful person and what he's made possible. Therefore, as we have proceeded in chapter 11, etc., we're looking at faith. And remember, the lead-in from that is in verse 38 of chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And as we have proceeded, so faith, chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and the substance under, to support under, holding up, support, holding up. We put the hymn book, and to show that we recognize the hymn book and relate to it, we have faith. And we hold it. Faith is the substance, the holding up of whatever it is. The being on time for the bus, you're there by faith at 10 o'clock. By faith. Everything is by faith, more or less. By faith, / to be believing. And faith is the evidence, the exhibit. Whatever you're holding is what you're trusting, is showing reality, the reality to you of what you're holding, faith. And if faith believes in Buddha, then you're believing in Buddha. That's what you're doing. And so what you're doing is you look at a Buddha and you are one person who agrees that Buddha is Buddha, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and then the list, God is going to give a list to evidence the substance. What did people do yesterday in order to show their relationship to God? And we went through them as we have Abel, and then we went to Enoch, verse 5, and we went, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder, a payer in full of them that diligently seek him. And then moved to Noah. Noah, all of it is lining up to tell you, you only can please God by faith. Faith is the only way to show that you support God, that you believe God. Believe God by faith. Therefore, you put your faith, support, under the fact that God is God. And you put your faith under that to hold that up. What are you trusting in? I'm trusting in God. God's saving person in Jesus Christ. I'm trusting in that. And so then we moved as we went, by Noah, and then we did Abraham, and we were in Abraham moving down in the list. All of it is there to evidence the wonderful truths. Now, in the process, and truth is wonderful, actually. Actually, this is it'll help you. So here, chapter 11, verse 9. By faith, remember now, that's the introduction all the way through, way up, back up to verse 4, by faith. Introduction, each by faith. How did any of these things occur? As they're listed, by faith, because of faith, because faith got underneath and believed, and they thus evidenced the reality of what they were believing, that what they were holding. Is it real or isn't it? And trusting God is real. And God backs it up. So by faith. So, in by faith, verse 9, by looking on Abraham, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, which Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So, what did Abraham do? He was taken, remember at the end of verse 8, he went out not knowing whither he went. He was going to trust God, God's leading and direction, and that's what he did. That's what he did. So he's out there moving. And in the process of moving, he sojourned, he moved as a stranger, as a pilgrim. He's traveling, he's moving. He isn't still, he isn't staying any place. He's moving, sojourned. Sojourned in the very land that Israel is to possess, and Israel, Palestine, Jerusalem, to be a testimony to the world. He was there. He was in the right place, but that was not the issue for Abraham. By faith he sojourned, he was a stranger, pilgrim, in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Because it was. It wasn't like Babylon, it wasn't like over near the Euphrates, it wasn't like that. No. And by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Tabernacles is the word tent. And that's what he did. And it says plural, tents, lots of tents. And not only did he stay and live his whole life, as we shared last time, all the way till he died, he lived in tents. And so did Isaac, and so did Jacob. They lived in tents. They all lived in tents. You'll remember now, when Adam and Eve, when Cain sinned and slew Abel, and Cain was condemned to wander the earth, he wasn't going to do that. So he went and built a city. That's what he did. And the participle, he's building the city. And we shared when we did all that, he was building the city. The city is never finished. The city is to compensate for the absence of God. Gonna happen. So we were building the city, unfinished, participle, never finished. A city never is adequate. No matter city, Rome, whatever it is never adequate. Now, so therefore, and they were the heirs with him of the same promise. So Cain built a city. He didn't. He was, remember Genesis and 1:28, they would replenish to fill the earth. That was a command, Genesis 1:28. But Cain wasn't going to do that. And everyone else followed him. They followed the lead. Therefore, for the most part. Now, so therefore, here he is in the land as a stranger and a pilgrim, and they lived in tents, and that's what he did. All the way down the corridor of time, he stayed in a tent. Now, and having said that and keeping that in mind, now, so he lives in tents. Now, why don't you ever build a house? Why don't you ever build a nice little house that you could have, and you wouldn't have to worry about wind or rain, Now, why don't you do that? Because, verse 10, for, the little word for, little preposition, reason, giving you a reason, for, the reason, because, that's, he's going to give you a reason, Why don't they ever get out of tents? 4, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They're looking for a city. That's what they're doing for. And what kind of city? Not the kind that Cain had, no. They're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. They're looking for a place, a city, that covers everything, all your needs, and all your existence in a most wonderful way. And so therefore, and you'll notice, filling in some details so you have them, in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations. So we're locking in the city. It's important. So lock in the city. So move over if you can, take in your Bible, coming back here in the light of that. And whose builder and maker is God. Over to Revelation 21. Remember what you're looking at, foundations. All we're doing is locking pieces together. He's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Foundations, I'm locking that, the foundation, what you build the city on. Chapter 21, verse 14 of the city. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, verse 14. Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones, the first foundation, jasper, etc., etc., etc. Foundations. What city? It's a city. City, God's city. And it has awesome foundations, to say the least. It isn't, there's 12 foundations. it's not going anywhere. You don't have to worry about earthquakes. You don't have to worry about anything. This city is a permanent city, permanent. Now, back over, if I can. The city is permanent city, wonderful city. And they're looking for this city. They're looking for it. And in the city, And this city whose builder and maker is God. Now, and remember the city is having a wonderful, wonderful play. I should have to stay there. It's easy because you were just there. Revelation 21 again. Just to lock in the city with the foundations. Revelation 21 and in verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I saw that city. And, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Awesome. Chapter 22, in verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The city. It's a heavenly city. It's God's city, not our city. It's God's city, one city. Not 10 cities, one city. One city, and God is in charge of the city in a most wonderful, wonderful way. They lived in tents because what? They were looking for the land of promise, Israel, across the Jordan. No, they weren't. Nope. No, they were looking for that city. The land of promise was on the way to the city. They weren't looking for the land of promise. They were looking for the city. Hang on now. That's what they did their whole life. They're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. over, if I can, just to do that in a little different way, go over with me to Psalm 16. We'll do us all kinds of ways to do this. And you'll note, please, in Psalm 16, picking up, please, in verse 11. The end of the verse. This is all of David, but notice it's repeated. But just catch the flavor of believers that are believing. Not all believers are believing, and not all believers even come close. But believers that are believing and catch it, and God gets in their heart, what are they doing? They're looking for something. They're not looking for something as much as they are looking for someone. They're looking to understand and enjoy the invisible God. Hang on to that in the light of the morning. To enjoy the invisible God in whose presence we sit. Important. The two will go together. Now, if I can. So in chapter 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Not earth. God. God. It isn't in Palestine or the Jordan River. No. No, it's with you, God. It's about you. Wonderfully, wonderfully about you. It isn't about us. It isn't about our life on earth, which often governs us because we're looking this way and we don't see this way. And so therefore, we're looking this way to survive. Matthew chapter 6. We're looking this way to survive. We aren't looking to God. And when you don't look to God, you're stuck trying to make this work. And you do everything you can to make this work for you. Now, chapter 17. Again, David. Verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's David. David looking, wow. Now, chapter 27. They lived in tents. They didn't look for it. Nothing's permanent here. It isn't about here and now. That's always true. Chapter 27 in verse 3. I'll read that because it's though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why not? Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What is that? That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. Again, easy, Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, you know, again, the whole problem is looking at the world. That's why they live in tents. Looking at the world is systems doing its all, like Cain with his city. We're doing everything excluding God. So, verse 17, how are you going to get straightened out? Until I was all confused and envious and upset about trying to make it in this life on planet Earth in these days. Until, verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. I got the pieces together. I had to see it not from earth. I had to see it from heaven. I had to see it from God's heaven. Otherwise, that's all I see is here and human history. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, the Old Testament believers that are believing, uninterested, they're interested in tent, living in a tent as pilgrims. They're looking, they have, once God saves them and really saves them, and they look to God for real, so rare comparatively, to look to God for real. They understand it isn't here and now. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. God, it's you. It isn't here. I don't need a city. I don't need a palace. I don't need an ocean view. I need you, God. You're the whole thing. You, oh, and 73. Sliding down, I didn't do it. Thank you. Psalm 73, sliding down in the sanctuary, verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast, an animal before thee. Nevertheless, God, verse 23, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. I got it. Husband, wife, father, sister. Once I got God, no one takes the place. No one takes the place of God. There's no human in forever that can take the place of God. And God gets your full attention. And that's why they lived in tents. They didn't want the end. It isn't here. It isn't here. So now, having said that, keeping that little bit in mind, and in the process, on your way back, Ezekiel and 28. The city, wonderful, wonderful city. Now, what did you know, if you want to jump ahead a little bit? Here's the Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. And here's the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is in the middle of the earth. The Garden of Eden is a special place. And all around it is the garden's the centerpiece. And all around it is the rest of the earth. And the garden is the centerpiece, like a city is the center of the country. So here's the city. Here's the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, what would it have been like to live in the Garden of Eden? Beyond. Besides eating fruit in the Garden of Eden, what would it be like to have no death, perfect environment, to enjoy the dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and everything else, to enjoy the whole thing, to be Lord, living in the garden, the boss of the whole earth. Wow. But Adam and Eve sinned and out of the garden. So Cain and Abel never got in the garden. So all they could do was see the flaming angels guarding the gate, and they could never get in. They had to live outside. That's where they lived. Now, having said that, now I'm going to go from the Garden of Eden there upward. And chapter 28 on Lucifer, son of the morning, the devil before he sinned and fell. Lucifer, son of the morning. And in chapter 28, picking up if I can, in verse 13. Verse 11, I'll read verse 11, why not? In verse 11. And moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentations upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum of all wisdom and you sealest up the sum of all wisdom. You have an awesome position mentally, spiritually, a perfect demonstration and beauty of your body. Verse 13. And thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That's the devil. The devil, before he sinned, lived in heaven's garden of Eden, as it were, the centerpiece, the center, the city, the center where God works from, as it were, the invisible God, where he worked from. That's what he did. And Lucifer, son of the morning, had a position, seated in that place. The other angels didn't. He did. That's why so he sinned, the Garden of Eden. And in the process, the Garden of Eden, which is the paradise of God. Paradise. Lived in paradise, as it were. What's paradise like? Well, it was like the Garden of Eden in heaven before Adam and Satan fell and was kicked out of the garden. He lost his job as a cherub angel. So therefore, having said that, in the light of that, so here's the paradise, and keeping that in mind, so having said that and remembering that, so to go with me now in the light of that paradise in heaven, and it's an awesome paradise. I'm connecting it. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. What is heaven like? It's a paradise. Paradise. They forfeited an expression of it when Adam and Eve sinned. The earth and everything got all fouled up. But here's this. So all the believers that are believing are looking for what? They understand what earth used to be and should have been, and why God did it, to demonstrate his awesome heavenly position as God. So God, it's paradise. Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. And you recall, and 2 Corinthians 12, picking up, please, in verse 4. Paul, remember, God in his wonderful grace educated Paul. And verse 2, I knew a man, talking about himself, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body. I cannot tell. God knoweth, such as one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. God knoweth. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He was brought into that Garden of Eden, into that paradise. And a paradise. What did the Lord say to the thief on the cross that believed? Today, thou shalt be with me. Where? In paradise. You're going to go. A wonderful thing. Special. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's awesome paradise. And that's what they're looking for. So everything we look at so far, I turn the pages, it's always upward. It's never stuck down here. It's never we found a beautiful castle by the River Thames or something, and we lived there for the rest of our life. No, even in the millennium, The millennium is only 1,000 years. That's nothing. 1,000 years. For what? To demonstrate God's magnificence, God's wonderful, wonderful grace to humans, so that humans can never, never, never say that at the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment, they can never, never, never say, God, there's no excuses. You can never say anything, and they don't. Why? Because God has given from Genesis, perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, all the way to the millennium, perfect, wonderful environment where the Lord is king, the lion lays down with the lamb. All of it is only what? To demonstrate man's utter failure. It's never a problem exterior. It's never a problem in function. It's a problem of the heart. Always the heart. So in perfect everything, at the end of the millennium, 1,000 years, the devil is let loose, and he's able to go all by his lonesome to deceive the whole world. Awesome. And they rebel as the sand of the sea. That's a lot. They just needed opportunity to show that as long as the Lord rules the millennium with a rod of iron, no one, you don't mess around. But when the Lord takes that down and gives them opportunity, they rebel as the sand of the sea. And God's done. You say, well, if I just had a better home, a better health, a better world conditions, where the people wouldn't beat me up when I walked to the store, you see. God said, none of that's the issue. If I did the worst tribulations, how bad's tribulation? Do you turn to God in the tribulation? No, you rebel as the what? As the sand of the sea. You would think someone, humans, would wake up. It doesn't matter what you do. It's a heart problem. A relationship to, from one heart to looking to God. And they don't want to look to God. That's just plain, really, where it is. And that's why the average believer does not enjoy, I know it, you know it. They do not enjoy what Abraham is, and God, faith is trying to tell us. By faith, they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. They lived in a tent. This one, your body, is a tent. And we're looking to what? Not stay in it. And the older you get, you realize you need to move. And so and we're looking. For what? We're looking for the builder. We're looking. Who is? The believer. That's the whole reason we're here. It's because we're going there. Why are we going there? Because of his awesome presence. The invisible God. That, hang on, I can't get to the morning yet. But you understand? And the average churchgoer has no sense of this. And they're quite comfortable. I'm going to heaven someday. That's it. Not God has put a taste of heaven in your heart in the person of God in Christ, who is heaven. That's why you want, that's why you want to go to heaven. Why? Because heaven entered your heart. Who? The God of heaven. That's why I'm going to go. I want to be with God. I don't want to be in the river. I don't want to be in the castle. I want to be with God. That's what you just read. That's rare. So how do we... Now, keep going. Now, so here's paradise. And in the paradise, Paul was there. And keep in mind, over to Revelation, since you're doing that. Revelation in chapter 2. Revelation in chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 7. Church in Laodicea. He that hath an ear, chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You're going home. Home. What's home? Heaven. Abraham, where are you going? I'm going home. David, where are you going? I'm going home. Well, no, I'm not going to the land. Not going to the land. That's only something to fit into time in the outworking of God's saving grace to the nations. God is saying who he is, going to say who he is to the nations by the nation of Israel. Tribulation, they're down. Millennium, they're up. They're going to show God's wonderful grace. But it isn't about here and now. It's not about that. So it's a wonderful garden. And in the process, the city is there. And it's a wonderful city. And I think, did we just do that? I forgot what I did. Revelation, I did chapter 21, verse 2 and verse 10 and verse 22. I'll do it. You don't have to turn there. 22 and verse 19. Yeah, we did that. Okay, now, having said that, over we can back to Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 11, keeping in mind Abraham was looking to God, and in the process, verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of the child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful, who had promised. No matter what you do and say and think, it's where is your faith resting in reality? Is your faith supporting, resting in God, in the truth of God and the God of truth? Is that where it's resting? If it is, you're safe as can be. Safe as can be. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, here's Sarah. And Sarah believed God. But she didn't, as you know, turn over there for a minute, Genesis and chapter 18. Chapter 16, even. And in the process, remember, now here's Sarah. They've been married 25 years. They were told they were going to have a promise, the child of God. They were told this up the beginning, and 25 years have gone by. They've gotten older. You quit, right? You quit even thinking about it. He's 100 years old, and she's 90. So you forget thinking about the whole thing. So therefore, but she believed God, but it took a little bit. God had to help her. So remember now, God made them wait. Why did he make them wait? Because they needed to believe with all their heart. And if at the beginning, 25 years, at the beginning, if they believed, but Sarah wasn't really there. She wasn't there. And she had to have faith. She had to believe God. But she wasn't there. In fact, the proof of it is God waited 25 years to show it. 25 years to prove to Sarah she needed to believe. She didn't believe. God told them, but she didn't believe. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar, and for Ishmael and all that. That's what they did. She didn't believe. And Abraham didn't believe, like they should have. So when you come over now, the time goes on, and God's going to go and help them. And so God comes and meets with Abraham before Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the process, chapter 18, picking up, God tells Abraham they're going to have a child, etc. Abraham honors the presence of the Lord and the angels. Verse 12. Therefore, Sarah, now listening, I'll get a little better context. In verse 9. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to a time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. So he was listening, as you'd always want to listen. What are they saying? You know, you got to listen outside. What are they saying? Now, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, and the veil stricken in age, and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It's impossible. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, not out loud. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Wasn't verbal. She's hiding behind the tent, but God happened to know exactly what she was doing. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety have bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard, too wonderful, too extraordinary? Remember, that's the word we read in Jeremiah 32. And 17, Jeremiah says, in the light of all of that's happening, is there anything too hard for you, God? Too wonderful? And then he has his prayer. And then verse 27, God answers him, Abraham, there's nothing too hard for me. Same word, same phrase. Abraham said it at the beginning, and God confirms it at the end. There's nothing too hard, too wonderful. Here's the same word you're looking at, chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh, etc. Now, so here's Sarah. She didn't believe. But God's going to take her at 90 years old and transform her. Now that in itself would be, you know, if you looked in the mirror, you have to be old enough to want to do it. Well, even a baby. Look in a mirror and then go and turn around and look at a picture 20 years ago or whatever, baby picture, whatever you want. And then look back in the mirror and see yourself like that. To see yourself as, wow, meh. And then to turn around, you know, that would sort of wake you up, wouldn't it? You know, if you had needed glasses, hair, or whatever you need, whatever we have or don't have, hearing and all of it, and all of a sudden it's fixed. Wouldn't you know it? You'd say, wow. So, Sarah, did you wake up? Well, I'm waking up. Okay. And therefore, so here's Sarah, back over to Hebrews 11. And if I can, Hebrews 11, and we'll look at it again in the light of what we just did. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God. She believed God. And here's Abraham, and here's Sarah, and here's all these children. Not of Isaac, that's the Arabs and all of that, Ishmael, I should say. Not that way, but of Isaac. And here's Abraham, Isaac, and here he is. Okay, now, verse 12. Wherefore sprang there, even of one, Isaac, and him as good as dead, that's Abraham to get Isaac, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is in the sea, which is in the seashore, innumerable. And in verse 12. So here's God saying in the most wonderful way, the stars are going to be there, and you're going to be like the stars. And we already know the stars are you can't count them. And God said, I'm going to do a wonderful thing. I told you to replenish the earth, and you didn't do it. So God's going to go and do a wonderful thing by way of Abraham, by way of Isaac, by the seed of Abraham. God's going to do a wonderful thing. And you'll see in verse 12, a good dead, as the stars. And you want to look at, not now for time's sake, to do that, Genesis 15, 5, do it. What can I tell you? Genesis 15 and in verse 5. And picking up, please, as you'll see it. Remember now, this is Abraham looking up at the sky. And verse 4, 15, 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own wombs, that's Isaac, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth, a hair broad, and said, look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be as the stars. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him, and it counted it to him for righteousness. Look at the stars. Your seed's going to be like that, the stars. And chapter 22. And chapter 22, picking up again. 22, not 23. 22 and in verse, you'll catch it, in verse 17. That is, then in blessing I will bless thee, said God. In multiplying I will multiply thy seed. How so? As the stars of the heavens. Sand, stars. You've got the sand and the stars. God already said that. And here's God said, I'm going to go take your seed and multiply it as the stars in the sand. And you've got it in verse 17 again. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. God's going to do a wonderful thing. Go over to Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians in chapter 3, picking up my can, in verse 14. And you'll catch it. Remember Abraham is the pattern for all people to get saved. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Remember, we did that with a little card. I don't have it. little card I had F in the once faith. On the other side, I had R, righteousness. And I did that. So faith believes God's word. But when you look down, you see faith. Faith in God. But when I see faith in God, I look at it and I see righteousness, R. My faith went down and rested in God, holding God. And when I looked, it was righteous. God said, your faith shall be counted as righteousness. We did all that in detail. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, chapter 3, if I can, and in verse 14. The blessing of Abraham might come in the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be and it confirmed, no man disannulleth it or addeth thereof. Thereto. Now Abraham and his seed were to Abraham and the seed were the promises made. Made right. How did you make him? What did Abraham do? He believed God. Where's the seed of Abraham? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Christ is the seed. The seed, the tribe of Judah, Christ, the seed. Faith in Christ. Hang on. Now, picking up, please. In verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. He saith not to seeds many, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, even which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, cannot cancel, cannot take away, that it should make the promise of none effect. The promise stands all by itself. God makes it, God keeps it. Verse 18, for if the inheritance of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it unto Abraham by faith. Therefore, you're going to go and look, sliding down to verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. In other words, the law was a jailer, was a schoolmaster, and it kept giving us tests and we flunked them. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, placed into, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ, etc. There is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. But we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're part of God's, the seed of Abraham, as the stars, as the sand of the sea. God is able to save to the uttermost in a most wonderful way. Hebrews, we can't even go there. We'll go there and we'll stop. Hebrews. And all we have time for, verse 13. These all died in faith. How's that? They all died. How do you mean they died? They died believing God. Their last breath, they were believing God. They were looking for a city. They were going all the way. They did not waver. They did not depart. They were believing God all the way. They embraced the truth, and they were looking for that truth, absent from the body and not from our position. present with the Lord. They were looking to be into God's holy, happy heaven, not on earth, not Palestine. They were looking for God, the city, whose builder and maker is God. They were looking. God created us not to live on earth in its corruption, but to live in God's holy, happy presence in heaven. That's why God creates a new heaven and a new earth for us to enjoy. So here we are in these tents. If you can live like that, this is a tent. I'm waiting to move into God's holy heaven. And we, at this point, which they never had, as you'll see, were waiting at any moment to what? For him to come, to take us out of the body. To what? To be present with the Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's why I'm going. I'm trying to get you there. In fact, remember we did it in John 17 when we were in this John 17:24. I long for you to be with me where I am, to see my glory. I want you to see the wonderment of all that I have made possible. And like we do in prayer meeting in Jeremiah, you couldn't even imagine what I'm doing, said God. You couldn't even imagine what I'm doing. It's beyond your mind. So just believe me. Wow. So we're looking. Anyway, I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful truth. Not many believers have it. I hope you guys and us guys grab hold of it and run with it. Because that's how you can get through the thick and thin of every hour of every day. Because this isn't my home. This isn't my home. This isn't my home.